We love Madison and she's 17. And she's been coming to our church since it began, and she's been coming up and singing this song since it began. She loves her Nana. She loves her Nana singing. And we're going to sing this for Madison today. Put your hand in the hand. Can you do it?
Yeah.
All right. Keep big, Ricky. She didn't use the ramp, she used the steps. And Elder Nancy walked up the steps. Amen. She had the strength to walk, and you ought to be so thankful to God, and you know, and see that. We need to see the miracles. We're going to do this in the key of C.
I didn't walk up the steps. I used my broom. I just flew up.
My wife can drive a stick. Stand with us, everybody. Stand up and stand for God. This morning, in the world of turmoil, we got Jesus. In the world of angry folks, we got Jesus. In the world proclaiming that evil is good and good is evil, we got Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want you to picture him standing up there. I love this so much in my spirit. Get spiritual that he's standing up there with both his arms spread out, reaching out to you. And he's saying to you this morning in October, welcome to my world. And give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated, and be seated to receive the word of God. Amen. Brother Mark Bush used to love that part. We used to say, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. He used to love that. He's right there with the kingdom and the power and the glory now praying for us. I believe it. Somebody said amen. I heard somebody say amen. My wife told me that I say amen a lot. You know I do? And I laugh about it because you're absolutely right. I do. If you had to take a sip of something every time I said amen, you'd be like, oh. But that's all good. That's all good.
Amen.
Hey, there we go. You know, I was watching, and I'll tell Gene this, I was watching Pastor Hayden, John Hayden on TV this week, and he's preaching, he stands there, you know, he's a large man, he's standing there preaching. He's preaching from his heart, he's preaching from his foot to the top of his head, and he's just saying what he's saying. And I said, I like it, and everybody's clapping, and then he starts clapping, and they all stand up. I said, look at that. He knows about Jesus, amen. He ain't afraid. He's bold. How many, I want to be bold like that, amen. This man, I said it again, he got everybody excited. Maybe we should invite him here. Where's Dave? Dave, can we invite Pastor Hagin to come? Don't make it the week we're not going to be here now. Don't be doing that to me. It was so good. You know, some people preach and they preach really well and they talk. But he's bold. He's getting them all fired up. I enjoyed that. I'm not singing. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. I got you. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him.
For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all. This sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Oh, come, let us worship God. Let us kneel before the Lord Almighty.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, my God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to pray to God, just like you talk to your mom and dad, don't go in here and say, oh, I need this. Don't give him a wish list. When you go to God, give him thanksgiving.
Amen.
Go to God and give him thanksgiving. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, you say that. Give him a thank. You want to go and hear your prayers? You want God to hear your prayers? You start with thanksgiving. What do I got to be thankful for? Shame on you.
Larry.
I see it.
Another blessing.
I see it. I see what I see, and I know how hard we prayed for that man right there on the subway. Well, Pastor Larry, you don't have 50 people. Well, we have prayer, and there is the answer to my prayer right there. If I don't start crying and forgiving, you not only prayed for him, you stood up and prayed with your hands up. We did that for Yvonne once when she went off, and, well, she's sitting right there. We prayed for Faith last week. She's sitting right there. We prayed for what Brother Phil was going to go through, and it hasn't been easy, has it, Brother Phil? There were some days and weeks you weren't sure, but it wasn't you that had to be sure, because we were praying. It's the prayer of the faithful. You could have not even been a believer, Phil, and I'm going to show you that today. You don't have to be a believer for somebody to pray for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm going to show you that today. Phil, it is wonderful, beautiful to see you today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mickey Mantle's rookie card, baseball card, sold for $12 million. I called Phil up. I said, can I see it? They didn't buy it. It is
his church level just rose up again. Did you know they were coming, Dave? I only see one, really.
I just want to let you know he's trying to bid on that ball, number
7. Well, that young fellow who caught Aaron Judge's 62nd home run, he was so excited that Judge didn't hit 63. Well, 62 would have been just a baseball. Praise God. You guys are doing good today. Responsive reading. Marilyn, thank you. Yeah, can we all say thank you to Marilyn? Say, Pastor, you're crazy. You bet I'm crazy. You got water. Did anybody get water out of the refrigerator?
Yeah.
You know that water just doesn't hurt. Brother Fred brings the water and puts it in there. So somebody has to do it. The bulletin that you have, that wonderful bulletin, just doesn't appear in here. Marilyn puts the bulletin together front to back. So you give Marilyn praise for the bulletin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. And I got one more. This is interesting too. When is the day of salvation? When is the day of salvation according to 2 Corinthians? Is it when you are born, when you pass, or now? When is the day of salvation? How many think it's on the day you're born? How about on the day you pass? Anybody? How about now? 2 Corinthians. Now is the day of salvation. This day is the day of your salvation. Remember that question I asked you. We're going to get to that. What is the greatest gift that we get from Jesus? What's the greatest gift? Is the greatest gift from God? Don't answer yet, because we're going to get to that. I love that. Thank you, Lord. You all ready for the word?
Yes.
You ready to sit back? Are you all ready? You got your, is Fred coming today? I don't want to miss the word. He thinks so. Is Judy with you today, Phil?
Yeah.
Praise God. Phil is in the house.
Woo!
Yeah. Phil is in the house. I just can't even tell you how what he went through. But here he is. We're going to read today, most of it's going to be from the book of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. And it's really interesting about Mark. One of the things we're going to not so much talk about, but I want you to know, is he uses the word immediately over 40 times in his gospel. Just like your pastor says, amen, over 40 times in a half hour. Try not to. I want you to do it. But he uses the word immediately because he wants you to get the idea that when Jesus says something, it's done. When he does something, it's done. Amen. He doesn't wait around. He uses the word immediately. So when you read Mark next time, you're going to see that. Boy, there's that word a lot. So I'm going to start right from Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, when?
Immediately.
Yeah. He entered the synagogue and taught. He is who? Jesus. Then I went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue, and he taught. Let me tell you, this was custom. In the days back then, Sergio, you could walk into a synagogue on Sunday and decide you wanted to read. So you'd get up, open up the book, and you'd start reading. And that was customary, that different people would do that. They loved that. So he walked in, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue, and he taught. Ready? I won. And they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. They were astonished. They were greatly surprised. And they were impressed. Immediately. He taught them as one having authority. Let me tell you what he taught them as. One having knowledge. Say it with me. Amen. One having wisdom, somebody who had understanding, somebody who had power, and this could have been the great, somebody who believed what he was preaching. Brother Jim tells me sometimes, he said, you really believe what you're preaching? I said, absolutely. If that's coming across, that's good for you and for me. But see, he started teaching, and they said, oh, this guy's got something. He's talking different. He's talking with knowledge, power, and wisdom. He taught them as one having authority. Not as the scribes. In other words, how many know somebody can get up and start reading from the Bible? Oh yeah, and now a leprechaun. And it's not bad. It just doesn't inspire. So, he taught them boldly with confidence because he knew what he was talking about. He believed completely what he taught them. They came across to his audience. And here's something that you might not thought about when you read it. It was not as much what he taught, but how he taught that. Let me say that again. It was not as much what he taught, but how he taught that. You might say, Pastor, how do you know that though? And I can give you the answer, right? Because it never tells you what he taught. He was speaking from Scripture, so it never tells you what he, it was how he taught. It was his manners, his knowledge, his wisdom, that really, they were immediately impressed. They were astonished. Do you see the difference? Now, you might have read that 10 times. And Sister Judy, God bless you for bringing Phil. And God bless you for coming to our church today. for he taught them as one having authority. It didn't matter what he was teaching. They were listening, and they were reaching for it, and they wanted to hear more because they were astonished. I think that's, you can read that over and over again and miss that. You miss seeing that. Let's continue. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. How many words? 7. Be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Let's stop right there. Something you need to understand right there. And you got it, and you got your bulletin too. You'll see it in your bulletin. A man with an unclean spirit. I want you to understand this because this is so important. Evil must have a host. Evil must have a host. That, remember how they asked Jesus to let them. Now, if you read your scripture readings, you'll see that. You'll see that in Matthew 8:31 on your scripture. It says, "So the demons begged him, saying, 'If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine.'" That's the story where Jesus meets these demons. They're possessed, and he's going to cast them out. And this, the demon needs a host. What does that mean? He needs a place to stay. He needs a residence. And they said, "Oh, if you're going to cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine." And if you know the rest of that story, what do the swine do? They run down and fall off the cliff into the ocean, and they die. That's the story of the swine. So what does that tell you? The demons had no power over the swine. That should make you say, "Oh man, I'm embarrassed." The demons had no power over an animal. He only has power over you if you let him in, or you let him into your thought life. The book in your thought life, in your head. When you start letting him into your head is when he can't enter you. Understand this. You cannot be possessed by a demon. Anybody want to know why? Anybody want to say why? Because of another scripture reading. Right there in your scriptures. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1. "In him you are also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Understand that. A demon cannot possess you because you're sealed. If anybody knows what sealed means, right? Deacon Sergio, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You should have power. You should stand up and receive that this morning. You are sealed with God, and the demon can't possess you, but he can get in your head. Oh, yes. He can get in your head. He can give you thoughts that aren't from God because you allow it. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Amen. So with Jesus in your life, the presence of Jesus in your life, in your heart, means more than you can understand. Even right now, you don't have to wonder if you're saved. You don't have to wonder because you're sealed with his spirit. So, but you have to understand, you can let things into your head that don't belong in your head. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
An empty vessel who has no need of God or never invites him in, somebody that doesn't know God and won't invite him in, is going to be filled with something. He's going to be filled with something, and it's not going to be good. If not God and Jesus, something else. Let's continue. "And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were amazed. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the regions of Galilee." Wow. Now I'm going to take you just for a minute to the book of Acts, chapter 19. I'm going to read for you something that coincides with this story. I want you to understand, Jesus commanded the spirit to leave. He commanded. And he didn't say it in 25 words. He didn't give a speech. He just said, "Come out and be quiet." 7 words, right? Now in Acts 19, listen to this. Then some of the itinerant Jews exorcists took it upon himself to call on the name of the Lord over those who had evil spirits. Itinerant Jews were traveling Jews. They were exorcists. They would go around and they travel around and they pray over people who had evil spirits or demons, or they pray over them and they, you know, they do the exorcist thing. So, you know, I'll read that again. Then some of the itinerant Jews exorcists took upon themselves to call off of the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." Did you hear that? He said, "We exorcise you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." Praise the Lord. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Seven sons of the chief priest. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the men who the evil spirit was left on them overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. It's, you need to do more than know who Jesus is.
Amen.
You need to do more to understand what you have in Jesus. It's just that simple. It's just the simplicity that is Christ. You need to take him into your heart. You must believe. Itinerant, traveling from place to place, sent the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest. And they say, "By the Jesus whom Paul preaches." What's that? What's that? They're casting out demons by some guy named Jesus, who we don't know, but Paul preaches about it. Why? Because they had no personal relationship with who? Jesus. We could and we should always pray for others, but it's up to them to believe in the one begotten Son. I can preach Jesus to people all day long, but if they don't accept it, it's on them. I can preach and tell them how great and wonderful Jesus is, and if they don't accept it, it's on them. You know, our salvation, I read some editorials about things today, and I said, from other religion places, and I said, no, but their salvation is at stake, Reverend. Pastor, their salvation is at stake. We can't play around with this. The evil ones knew Jesus. Do you notice that when Jesus in the Bible comes across demons, they immediately know who he is. They call him Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. They know who, but some people don't. They had no personal relationship with Jesus. The evil one knows Jesus. They knew Paul. They saw through the lack of faith. They saw through the lack of faith of those people and the lack of heart of these seven men. They had no spiritual power. How many want spiritual power? Please raise your hand. This is important. You want spiritual power? It's being the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, knowing Jesus. You know him or not. You believe him or not. The demons will know that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The demons will know whether you believe or not. He said, "Be quiet and come out of them." Seven words. Immediately the evil spirit departs. No theatrics, no long prayer, no long speech. Be quiet and come out. That is the power of Christ. And you have that. I'm sorry to tell you the truth, but you have that. I'm not sorry to tell you, but you need to grab it. You need to understand you have the power of Christ. Fame. Famous miracle. And you notice that his fame spread out from shore to shore. He had all he could do, more had to buy a plane to get around. It wasn't enough. Isn't that something? His fame wasn't enough. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue in Acts. I want to continue this for a second moment. So, this became known. What happened? I'll read that again. And power them, or prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. These seven exorcist experts, who didn't have Jesus in their house, they were taken over by the evil spirits. And that became known to both all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord was magnified. What was the name of the Lord was magnified? And isn't it funny? It's an interesting reaction. The people who saw that became afraid. I think that's interesting. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them in a total of 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So these sorcerers, these soothsayers, these magicians saw what happened. They went and got their books and they said, oh, burn them up. We don't want any of this. They were afraid and they took what they had, their livelihood. Those who practiced and played with magic and sorcery bought their books and burned them for all to see. How many? All. Their books and anything else they used must have been very valuable. And I'm going to go right to today. Books today, videos today, toys today, movies today, music today, charms and all these other things we do today bring temptation entering into your mind. You've seen, oh, I can read this, or I can watch this, or I can do this. And how many are guilty of that? Except for Gene. Nobody else for Gene or anything. You're watching stuff to stimulate your mind in other ways. You read a book, you read a joke, you read something, oh, this is fun. You use foul language, you to your attitude, people hear you. See, that's a reflection of what's in your head. So you got the Spirit of God going on in you, and you got the power of God, but your head says, oh, I can do this. I can, oh, this one, I'm in control of myself. These people, these magicians, right here, after they saw the power of God, they burned their books. Isn't it funny how unbelievers all of a sudden become believers, and believers take forever to get you onto that. You read the story of Jonah, when they drove over the thing in the water, over to Jonah into the ocean, and the seas calmed, they said, wow, let's get down underneath and worship that God. That would be my first thought. If I see God performing miracles in front of me, I'm going to worship that God. But not, you know, unbelievers do that, but believers don't think, okay. People who should know, don't do that. In this story, in the book of Acts, it's connected to what he did in Mark. In that way, it brought people to God. Do you see what happened, the miracle? The miracle of in the book of Acts, when they saw the power of God, when they saw what happened, that they all gave their heart to God. You see that beautiful message? You see how it comes together? Because Mark is telling us the same thing. If you don't know God, the evil spirits know that. And you're dealing not with life, but with powers and principalities. Amen? Please, hallelujah. Those who practiced and played with magic and sorcery bought their books and burned them for all to see. It took them one time. Their books and anything else, their charms and their anything else they had, they destroyed them because they knew the danger of having them. Yet we don't today, amen, we have this thing called a cell phone, a computer in your pocket. My, you know, 10-year-old kids have stuff that we never dreamed of having. And it's not bad, but it can be bad. Amen. It's a good thing to learn, but if nobody's watching, if you give them something and say, well, I'm going to leave them alone because you go to the dinner table and everybody's got their phone. What is that? It's not right. I know you can argue with me, but it's not. You're supposed to go to the dinner table as a family and everybody should eat together. It's not, I'm not picking on anybody, but it's what we all do. We allow things in our head. We allow Satan into our head because he can't get our body. He knows he can get our head. We got to be careful with that. It drove people to God. Yeah, maybe it was out of fear at first, but it doesn't matter. They're looking for safety. It's a great first step. And again, I tell you this, evil must have a host. Evil has to have a place to go because the people, you notice it travels around. It said, remember when the guy was clean, all the evil demons, they were just traveling around looking for where we're going to go now, what are we going to do? And they go back to the house that they were cast out of and they see this guy's got his house all clean now. He doesn't have any God. There's no Jesus in here, no talk of the Bible. Hey, let's go back in. We can take over this place. You see,
that you're protected by the Word of God. Let me tell you again, you're protected by Jesus. You're protected by all that. It doesn't have to be bad. You have everything inside of you. You have God inside of you. Thank you, Lord. So I ask you, why did Jesus come? Anybody, why did he come? Did he come to heal us? Did he come to save us? Did he come to lead us out of temptation?
All the above.
All the above. But he says in the Mark, if you read the first chapter of Mark, verse 38, he said his words. Hallelujah. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Isn't that interesting? He came to preach the Word of God to the people. If you got the Word of God and you accept the Word of God, you have everything else that you need. He came to preach the Word of God to his people. All the other things were just extras to get us to, you know, the miracles. Even though the miracles didn't work, people saw the miracles and some of them ran, some of them laughed, some of them ran. And we're going to read that in a minute. But that's right there in 138. You might have read that 500 times and not saw that. He said, let us go that I may preach the word also, because for this purpose I have come forth to tell you about my Father. I just found that. And the word, when you read, the word says it is a lamp to my feet. The word of God is a lamp to your feet. Not just mine, but yours. When I'm reading the word of God, when I'm doing the Bible study, when I'm putting the sermon together, it's a lamp to my feet. It's guiding me through that to give you something that you can hold on to. And you talk about the disciples. You ever think about which one gave up more? This is interesting, an interesting thought. I'll get back to the sermon. An interesting thought. Which disciple gave up more? Some of them were fishermen. So they gave up fishing, and they gave up the boat. But if something happened and they went back, there would be the boat, and they'd go back to fishing. I'm a fisherman. I'm going to go back to fishing. But one of them was a powerful man. He had wealth. He had prestige. He had power. He was a tax collector with the Romans. And a tax collector collected taxes. And he could collect all he wanted. And he could keep all he wanted. As long as the bottom line was paid to the Romans, he could charge you whatever he wanted, and you had to pay it, and he put it in his pocket. When Levi left being a tax collector, think about what he gave up, because that seat was going to be filled. He might come back a month later, 2 months later, a year later. Hey, I'm like, nope, sorry, we got somebody. Now we don't need you. What did he give up? That's interesting to me. That was a little sideline, but do you ever think about that? Who gave up more to follow God? He gave up power and prestige. He gave up comfort. He gave up all that stuff because he saw right away that we needed to follow God. Hallelujah. Can we go a little further? Praise God. Chapter 2. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and he was heard that he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. Immediately, what?
Immediately.
There it is again. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached what?
The word.
Sergio, the word. That's it. That's all we need. He preached the word of God to them. There were so many, and how many have read this story before? David, I'm sure you have, over and over again, but I'm going to tell you what you missed. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't miss it. Maybe you didn't. I'm sounding crazy. I'm sounding like one of the, what's the kid's name, Jeff Dunham, with the little, or the purple thing. What's his name?
Peanut.
Peanut. That's what I'm sounding like, right? Oh, Lord. Immediately many gathered so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. How many men?
Four.
Okay. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you.
His fame, here he is, immediately many gathered. These four men had a friend who was a paralytic. He was on a bed, a cot. Do we know anything about him?
No.
Was he a believer?
No.
We don't know. We don't know anything about him. Well, we know about the four. Now, picture this. You've read that story 100 times, but if you put David, who's probably the lightest guy, or Anne-Marie, I'm going to pick on you, but if you put Anne-Marie on a cot, and four of you picked it up and walked around the church 3 times and walked up the ramp and downstairs, you'd be saying, oh my God, holy God. They carried this guy on a cot to the house. Okay? That's step one. Then they look and say, oh my God, there's not enough people. We can't get through. So they walked around the back of the house, and these four men lifted the cot up to the roof. And if you even went Anne-Marie on it, you're going to say, this is crazy. They lifted them on the roof. And then they pulled them up the ropes. And then they got on the roof, these four guys. And they broke a hole. They said they broke a hole through the roof. And then they lowered down Anne-Marie on a cot. Right in front of them. You see what they did? We don't know nothing about the guy. But these four people had enough faith to pray. You got to pray for people all the time. It doesn't matter if it's an unbeliever. It doesn't matter if the most sinful person in the world. You pray for them. You never know what God's going to do. These people had faith. We don't know the guy. Maybe he was an atheist. We don't know. Even for unbelievers, they broke through. That's a great thing. Because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, not just moved, they broke through, they let down the men on the paralytic, they let Anne-Marie down on the cot. How much work was that? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Wait, what? What? He saw their faith. Whose faith did he see?
The four guys.
And they wanted him healed, right? Because he couldn't walk. And they lowered it. They'd done all that and they lowered down and Jesus said, your faith. Your faith. Son, your sins are forgiven. And wait, what? First of all, they say, who can forgive sins except God? So they were a little upset about that. But the first thing was your sins are forgiven. Is that what you wanted for this guy?
No.
You wanted him to be what?
Walk.
You wanted him to walk. But the first thing, how many things? One thing that Jesus does is what?
Forgives
the sin. Because if you heal the legs, what good would good legs be if you're walking right to the pits of hell with them? If you got healed of your legs and you were able to walk and you just walked right into right through the gates of hell. No, because the most important thing, I asked you before, that God gives any of us, the greatest gift he gives you and gives me, because none are worthy, is his forgiveness. God has forgiven you for the past. Why are you holding on to it? Just don't go back to it. Amen? But the forgiveness of God, thank God for his mercy and his grace. That's all good when you're walking in sin and doing sinful things. His mercy and grace saying, I know I got you. You're okay. I'll protect you, but I can't bless you. But when he forgives you, wow. God is the greatest. And everybody realized that this guy, he could have healed his legs. But what good is walking if you're an unbeliever and he lets you walk right into the pits of hell? Forgiveness is the greatest gift from God. You got to see that. Not healing, not answer to your need, not a job, not a mate, not wealth. Forgiveness from God is really all that matters truly. And then in 2:8, we learn this. But immediately, when?
Immediately.
You talk about me, you talk about Mark now. Picking out me about saying amen. It's immediately. When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, when?
He demonstrates his authority to forgive and to heal. And they were all amazed. I would have been amazed, but I would have been on his coattail. I mean, I would have not been anywhere. Mary Magdalene did that, right? When she healed him, she said, I'm not going to be anywhere but near you. Why would I want to be anywhere but near you? And then I'll close right here because I have more. How many know I have more? I always have more. He answers, he says this in 2:10, and this is really wonderful, closing today. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He called himself the Son of Man. Not a king, not a savior, not the Messiah, not political. There was nothing that, if he called himself a king, as they always put, or a Messiah or a savior. No, he called himself the Son of Man. Just like his father said, who are you? I am who I am. Give him praise, church. I got more. I'm talking to you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Barely into the third chapter of Mark and all that stuff. Actually, we're only in the first two chapters of Mark. Read your Bible and just think about each line. Sometimes you got to do, I tell Brother Jim that from Seymour, my friend from Seymour. I tell him, read the Bible, read one line and stop. Read a couple of lines and then stop. Think about what you just read. You know, people talk about Jesus in all kinds of ways, but he is who he is. And he's our Lord and Savior. And he forgives us our sin. There's no greater gift. You can't ask him for anything greater because who are you without forgiveness? And his grace and mercy are never ending, which means you can do things that are not in line with the word of God. Amen? You can do things out of line. And God's got mercy and grace. He's going to wrap you and bring you back. He's going to wrap you and keep you safe sometimes. He's going to keep you. But he can't bless you. Isn't that enough to say, I want to be blessed? He cannot bless what isn't in the line of God. That's simple. It's really simple. Remember the simplicity that is Christ? It's simple. But his greatest gift to us is forgiveness. And I tell you that if these people in the world who won't do it will just forgive each other, imagine the difference. Saying reparation? No, I don't want reparation. I forgive those who came against me. No, I don't want to be paid back for something that happened 200 years ago. I forgive them. Let's move on. And when you forgive, you let go. And everybody's blessed. Let me say that again. Everybody's blessed. So what are you all? You know, the Bible says we're not for the sins of the Father. We're not responsible for the sin. So something that happened 200 years ago, we're not responsible. Amen? So you want reparation from whom? For whom? For whom? That doesn't bless everybody. But if you all forgive, if the world stood up and said, I forgive. Imagine what that would be like. One word, forgive. One action, forgive. One. How many?
One.
Isn't that simple? The world would have to be different. That's God. You see, that's what you've got to fight with. That kind of knowledge with God. When somebody comes against you, don't fight with the argument. Does anybody ever try to argue with a five-year-old? You know, it's useless. It's useless. And it's the same thing. I talk to somebody who doesn't like to go hunting, and I'll talk to them. It's useless. Or a Red Sox and a Yankee fan. I know you all laugh at that, but that's how useless it is. I can't make Jim say the Yankees are the greatest team. And it's foolish. But we have foolish arguments about foolish things. When we just need to stand and stand on that word. Mark 3 has got, Mark 3 has something I've been preaching on for months and days and weeks. It's important, but this was important. Give God praise. Marilyn, thank you for these scripture readings. You got them in, even though I got to you late with that. Well, thank you. You know, it's not easy having this bulletin and stuff. And hallelujah. I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who are you? I'm not going to say that to you. Don't let him say that. Don't let a demon say that to you. Say, I am a son. I am a daughter of Christ. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, sometimes my thoughts, my just cause me my actions every now and then. But God loves me because mercy and grace last forever. And I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the Bible because I'm protected standing there. I don't want to stand on your side. I don't want to stand on this side. I want to stand on the rock.
Amen.
We have forgiveness. He's forgiven you. And continues. He did you a pretty big favor.
Amen.
And all he wants you to do is do this in remembrance of him. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, said, this is my body where I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to get whipped and beaten, and I'm going to do it for you for all your sins. He said, take this and eat this bread and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. No other man, no other God anywhere, anything they call God, anything that they say for God, God of the planets, God of the moon, God of the sun, God of anything, has never died for you. This God has died for you. None of those gods, none of anything that's written about another God, never gave his blood for the remission of your sins. None of them have done that. You get salvation and forgiveness through the name of Jesus. Forgive us for our iniquities, Lord, this week. We know that we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, but we know our thoughts can betray us. We know that we can read and see and do things, Lord, that are not in line with you. So forgive us for them, Lord, and make us stronger to face them and longer to see that. Knowing, Lord, that if we walk with you, that will influence other people. That if we walk with you, that will change other hearts. Not that we get in the middle of fights and we get in that, Lord, because that's what the enemy wants us to do. Get off the Word of God. Get out of that light, and we want to be in that light. Forgive us, Lord, for the iniquities. Keep us strong. Keep us safe, Lord. We accept that. As we accept this, the sacrifice of your blood for the remission of our sins, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. How's everybody this morning? Good? Almost can let you go. Andre's here today. We haven't seen Andre in a couple of weeks. Makes my heart happy. And everybody who comes every week, so you don't talk about me, but God bless you for being here every week. Art Smith. Lillian. You know, it's, we need to remember that we prayed for people, amen. You need to remember, how is Brother Greg, because we prayed for him and he's doing great. His shoulder's better.
He had a surgery. He's going to be going into physical therapy within the next couple of days. The muscle is atrophied.
Yep.
The joint is perfect.
Amen.
And now we just have to get the muscles back built back up again. That's
it. You know, Brother Greg is a believer, but he had a believer praying for him. He had a believer praying for him. That man on, we don't know anything about the guy on the cot, the paralytic. But we know that four of his friends prayed for him and went out in their action of their faith. It's called borrowed faith, that they use their faith to heal him. And that's your God. You pray for anybody and everybody with as much vinegar and venom that you can do. Because God hears the prayers. You know, Sister Judy went through a lot. Now, nobody went to talk about Phil, what he went through and the operation, and it wasn't easy, and pain, and all kinds of things that he felt that none of us wanted to experience, but he did it. But he had somebody right there going through it with him, amen? And I'm sure that was not easy. So we thank God for keeping Judy sane and solid and on her feet.
I guess that's what keeps me sane.
Whatever you had to do, God was with you. God gave you that job so you can go to work. Here it is, church, your offering.
from you to God. Nobody saw you put it in the box. Nobody passed a plate around. It's because you gave out of your heart. He sees the giving from your heart to this church, your church. Lord, bless the givers and bless this offering for this church. We're going to preach your word. We're going to talk about your son, and we're going to praise his name. Praise his name and praise his name some more. Lord, take this offering from your people in Jesus' name. We have so much to be thankful for today. We woke up this morning. Thank you, Lord. You put some clothes on. Thank you, Lord. You got something to eat and drink. Thank you, Lord. You went outside. Thank you, Lord. You were able to see the blue sky. Thank you, Lord. You got a little chilly. That's nice. That's from God. Thank you, Lord. And you got in your car. Thank you, Lord. And you drove here safe and sound. Thank you, Lord. You got a lot to be thankful for. And I know you all have need. Not needs, but we all have need. We all have prayers. So we ask God not to tarry with those answers. Keep continuing to, but he will continue to bless you. He will continue to lead you and give you hope and strength. But you have to do something too. You have to believe with all your heart, and you have to take him in with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And let him lead you. Amen? Because we don't want anything happening where you lose something. Amen. We're blaming God. We don't want that. We want you to trust God. I noticed Deacon Sergio when I'm watching baseball and on football. I noticed the team that I'm not rooting for, the guy hits a home run, and he raises his hand and thank you, God. I said, wow. Yeah. He gave God praise and glory. God's not in the who's going to win business, but he wants to see his people praise him. Amen? And that's the greatest gift of all. Amen? That's wonderful when they do that. So just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for the food we have downstairs and the fellowship we have downstairs. Thank you for those who want this church to shine. Lord, thank you that we are here in this house in Jesus' name. Give him praise, Lord. And our closing prayer as a family, the Lord bless you and keep you. Yes. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, sir. And peace brings healing. And healing is good. God is good. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Brothers, if you come and sing God Bless America. John got the flag?
Thank you.